busy talking to the Deep Talk Radio.
Trigger warning. This is Trigger Warning. Themes. Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it?
Yeah. It's Michael Dean. Michael Dean checking in. Can you feel it, Babby? James
yes,
Babby?
Yes, I can. I am feeling it. Feeling it in my fiend bone.
You're James Babb now? Crisis. The Trigger Weens.
The Trigger Weens. I like that. That is the show title. The Trigger Weens. Yeah, isn't somebody in Ween named Michael Wareham or something?
Yeah,
no, that's, or Luna.
One of the dudes in Ween is impersonating Billy Joel and is excellent at it. But that notwithstanding, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, and this allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Trigger warning: this is indeed the Freedom Fiends. James Babb, Michael Dean, nice to have you. I'm Steve Miller with you live.
Great. Did you go to school with Ween, with the band Ween, either of you? I see they're from Pennsylvania.
So no.
You're not from England. Hey, have you guys seen the movie Thank You for Smoking?
Yes.
Did you know that that's written by William F. Buckley's son? The book is written by him? Christopher
Buckley. The Cuckley
family. Yes. The Cuckley family. Have you seen that movie, Babby?
I don't think so. Is it about weed or what is it?
No, it's about the tobacco. It's kind of libertarian in a weird way.
Christopher Buckley's a good author.
Yeah. Yeah. And he writes for conservative and liberal publications. He transcends it, although I think he's called a conservative. He might be kind of, that movie's kind of libertarian. What's it about? Well, I didn't read the book. I read the movie that's based on it. It's about a group of three lobbyists. For one for alcohol, one for tobacco, and one for firearms, who meet every day for lunch and laugh about their jobs. Basically,
I did see that. Yeah, I think I do remember that. That was pretty. I think that's pretty funny.
Two men and a woman for those three lobbyists, and they eat steak every day and nice wine and discuss how many people their products kill, and laugh about it.
Hmm.
Yep.
He also wrote The Adventures of Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal. That book was so funny. Highly recommended.
Know. I haven't seen that one. Yeah. Hey, James Babb, can I call you Babby? Or is that? Are you going to get mad?
I don't get that. See, you know, okay, but there could be some type of subtle retribution that you would not expect.
I don't want subtle retribution. I don't expect. I'm a sick old man. You can't. I'm drone proof, man. You can't. I can do whatever I want to you. And if you do anything back to me,
it's not what you call me. It's the spirit in which you call me that name.
I call you Babby out of a spirit of love and joy. Then how could Christian giving in this season of winter?
Exactly. So how could I have a problem with that,
Babby?
That's fine.
I'm a sick old man. Don't mess with me. I'll make you look bad. So speaking of that, I have a hashtag Mike MWD organ recital update. I'm insanely good, considering. I've been on CPAP, not to be confused with CPAC. I've been on CPAP therapy and ASV, auto servoventilation therapy, which is a more extreme form of CPAP, all in the same $3,500 machine my insurance company's paying for. I've been on it for 5 nights, and I'm far from out of the woods. Like, I still can't walk to the end of the driveway and pick up the garbage can without being winded for an hour, literally an hour or a half hour at least.
Wow.
But I have slept at least 7 hours a night of great sleep for 5 nights in a row. I haven't slept 5 nights in a row great sleep for 10 or 15 or 20 years. And all of a sudden my brain is getting the oxygen it wasn't getting. and I'm not physically that full of energy, but I'm really mentally like brimming with, you know, like before this show, like Nick Hazelton, he wanted to interview me for like the past year and I've been too sick to do it. And I called him up and was like, let's do an interview. I'm doing another show tonight, but I want to do an interview right now. And we did this interview that he's going to put out in the next few days. And I talked for an hour and a half and now I'm like, let's talk for another 2 hours, man. And, I've not done that in a year, you know, like I've been turning down interviews and I'm still really scattered. Like there's a lot to undo, but I'm kind of brimming with ideas, you know, which I haven't done in a couple years. So, and earlier before this, like I hadn't explained that to Babby and he and I were talking and he was trying to ask me a long-winded question. And I like halfway through it, I pretty much got it. And I was like, I have the answer. And he's like, you didn't hear the question. Like he got mad at me and kept cutting me off to the point where I thought he was going to hang up on me. But, and then I said,
wow, boy, if I ever really do get mad, you're going to think like I've gone completely insane. Like
I'll fire you. That's what I do with Fiends fans. And you'll be like, y'all be like, you'll never work for free in this town again. That's what I used to tell people in Hollywood, man. But, now I'm fire you, but it was funny. You weren't yelling, but you were like a kind of angry I've never had directed at me from you, and it was mild, but you're never like, you're kind of cranky.
I think you misinterpreted.
No, yeah. But then you said, yeah, angry. I'm yelling. You said I was yelling like you yell at your daughters, which by that you mean when you talk to 11-year-old girls and tell them to clean their dishes, they think you're yelling, and that's what I do, right? So you're saying I'm acting like an 11-year-old girl.
But when I'm not yelling, but just, you know, in a stern voice. They interpret a stern voice as yelling.
Yeah.
It's not yelling. It's just you know, stern voice.
Yeah, but, well, they can't fire you.
Which should not interpret that as anger. That's just, I know. That's just, you know, at best, slight gruffness, perhaps.
I'm not fine. Don't worry, baby.
Gruff, always worrying. Lovable. I'm going to like lose a host right now. She's only hearing one side of the conversation.
Gruff but lovable.
Gruff but the gruff but lovable James Babb. I'm going to put that. That's your new tagline, man. That's great. That kind of goes along with the, like Steve Miller said, that your dress style and your taste in music is very Republican.
Yeah. 100%.
We don't know what my taste. How do you know what my taste in music is?
I know what you don't like.
No, but I mean, no.
I don't know what you do
like. One show. He's seen me at one show at Underground Arts, and was that a Republican show I went to?
Yeah,
it was a.
I took surveys on the way in. I checked everyone's voter ID card.
Right, it was a John Philip Sousa recital. No, but it was a brass band. It was a brass band.
No, so. It was a salute to our troops, and you did a one-finger salute, James. Come correct.
Wow. Oh,
it was actually the Rebirth Brass Band, and that show was amazing.
It was this.
Have you ever seen Rebirth Brass Band? We're gonna make America great.
It was this.
Yeah.
It's the Trump song. You play tambourine on this, right? And you did it for free, right? Because you love Trump so much.
Oh, I would pay to do it. The problem is my psychosomatic deafness kicks in, and I can't hear it. Oh my God. Ugh.
I have... That's the first time I've ever heard a song that sounds like that, not in a TV movie.
And have you seen the video that goes with
the soundtrack for the TV movie Trump, the President? Yeah, it's horrible, man. It is
horrifying on like 27 different levels. Like there's so many things you could.
The
point
singer
at
looks like Chris
ridiculous.
Kyle. The singer looks just and dresses just like Chris Kyle, American Sniper.
Kyle's in there. There's images of Chris Kyle in there.
Okay, maybe.
And it's real. Jets and bombs and soldiers and. And then there's images of like Martin Luther King,
a black guy.
I swear there's a boxer, and it goes by really quick, but I'm pretty sure it was a young Muhammad Ali. Okay. Ugh. Which is pretty funny considering he's like, I don't know any Muslim athletes. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Muhammad Ali. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who also was like horribly, like he was not a pacifist, but he was very anti US overseas intervention war stuff. He was the guy that said, you know, no Viet Cong ever called me an N-word.
And he also had an IQ of 76, but you know.
Did he really? Before his... or after his career?
At some point. They
is that a punch drunk reading or is that a high school reading?
I have no idea.
I don't believe that because...
I saw it on a meme. It's got to be true.
It's not. Because he was kind of, Muhammad Ali was kind of eloquent in a, like, not very college, in an uneducated way. He was kind of eloquent. Even if someone else was writing his rhymes, he could at least recite them. A person with an IQ of 76 probably can't even remember Float Like a Butterfly and Sting Like a Bee. I mean, the average person has an IQ of 100. And that's what, you know, the average cop IQ is a little lower than that. Cops can remember.
You know, if it's true
lines.
That his IQ really is that low, then maybe we're putting too much emphasis on IQ anyway, you know, because he certainly has other characteristics, you know, like his...
That was
like
the point of the meme.
His lizard brain was very built up.
So was this a meme to, like, make people feel good about their own low IQ?
Yes, basically.
Was it
don't let someone tell you intelligence is everything. Muhammad Ali had an IQ of 76.
Merca.
Yep.
Anyway, but that musical was so... That musical number, it looks like it was produced, that video, by the same people that did Team America. Remember Team America?
Yeah but that
Team
was America. Humor. This is not humor. This is deadly serious, I could tell.
But well, they need to stop worrying about America and make that song great first before they start.
Yeah,
don't worry about the entire country. Make your song great first. Then worry about making America great, allegedly, again.
There's some kind of weird rap in it, too. That's like...
Yeah.
It's like,
the artist's name is Toot Sweet, which is kind of funny because there's actually been an artist named Toot Sweet. It was, you know, because Toot Sweet is a musical term, but there's probably been a lot of people with his name, but it's the name of the black voodoo guitar player in Angel Heart. You see that movie ever?
Not to be confused with Toots and the Maytals, right?
No. But this Toot Sweet ends up dead with his severed member in his mouth. So
it happens.
You know, yeah. Why would you name yourself after that guy? I don't know. Good movie. Totally underrated movie.
I don't know. But anyway, it's really making me not feel great about my species. Luckily, I'm not a collectivist. Or I would feel shame that exists and I share DNA with the people that created it.
Hey, did you know that there's another CPAP? It's not just the lung therapy. There's a CPAP that's a religious nanny state anti-booze crusade called the Coalition for the Prevention of Alcohol Problems.
Well, I support that. I mean, dude, who wants alcohol problems, right?
Like, no, these are like these are the church lady, and they all want, like, put health and safety messages in alcohol advertisements by law. We'll be back after this trip to the market. Maybe we'll sell some booze there.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Freedom Fiends. I'm Michael Dean. Talking to Steve Miller and James Babb. And as usual, James Babb wants to talk about drugs. So go ahead, James.
Drugs? Yeah, drugs.
Freedom. Freedom.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Bill Murray, okay? And the Wu-Tang Clan, okay?
Wow.
Now, this is a great, a very interesting story. It does involve drugs because you remember that pharmaceutical guy that became the most hated dude on the internet because he... increase the price of AIDS drug toxoplasmosis. Okay, so we covered that extensively, right? So that guy comes back around in the news because he bought the impossibly rare Wu-Tang album for $2 million. Okay, like they had like he's the only one with this Wu-Tang Clan album. Okay, now how does Bill Murray fit into this? Okay, and this is at least what the story says, okay? There's a clause in there, in the contract, that said the buying party also agrees that any time during the stipulated 88-year period, the seller may legally plan and attempt to execute one heist or caper to steal back Once Upon a Time in Shaolin. That's the name of this album, which, if successful, would return all ownership rights to the seller. said heist or caper can only be undertaken by currently active members of Wu-Tang Clan and or actor Bill Murray with no legal repercussions.
Wow.
Okay.
Wait, so this is in their contract with their record label?
I think it's the contract. Now, this is what the story says. Now, we don't. I'm not saying this is necessarily true, okay? I'm just possibly repeating just a really funny story that involves Bill Murray. So basically, that's the deal. Like, okay, you can buy this album, but we're allowed to steal it back. Any of us in Wu-Tang Clan or Bill Murray, if they steal it, they get to keep it. You know, that's kind of.
So. Well, he's in. There's a couple precedents for this. They're in a scene in a movie together. Did you know that? Two members of Wu-Tang Clan and Bill Murray. And they keep calling him Bill Murray by his full name. Like, well, Bill Murray, what do you think, Bill Murray? In the movie Coffee and Cigarettes, the Jim Jarmusch movie. Have you guys seen that?
Well, I think I saw a clip which has been circulating with the story where he's like drinking out of a coffee pot.
Yeah. And he's like, he's talking about having bad sinuses or a cold or an infection or something. And they've never met in it, but they're themselves. They're famous. They know who each other are. And they're giving him medical advice that is really specious. I think it's like something about snorting turpentine or something. Kind of like you told me earlier, I don't know if this is on air or off air. I was talking about how I'm like freaking out with happiness because I'm kind of over oxygenated compared to how I was. I'm actually still probably under oxygenated, but more than I've been getting. And you suggested tuning it down with a little carbon monoxide in the room. Was that on air or off air?
Well, that was very I didn't recommend it. I just said if that's really the problem.
Yeah.
I just said
it was kind of the same. It was the same kind of humor. It was the same kind of humor. So, but there's another precedent too of somebody actually stealing their master tapes back, and it's people I know. The band Flipper from San Francisco, their first record is called Generic Flipper. It's just the record's just yellow and black, and generic looks like generic food product. And that idea was ripped off by Public Image Limited, who they warmed up. Flipper warmed up for Public Image Limited in DC once, and then Public Image Limited put out Public Image Limited Generic, ripped off their idea. And you know, there's no real intellectual property law there, but it's like Steve and I were saying earlier, like, you know, you don't, the worst thing a comic could do is not be funny or rip off a joke, and they ripped off a joke. So
if you're in a creative industry, don't be uncreative.
They're, you know? They're both uncreative.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, stealing jokes and not being funny. So, and the other, the president of Flipper actually stole their master tapes that they didn't have the rights to and licensed them to a different label. And it was their first record, Generic Flipper, was out on Subterranean Records, which is a small, like the little label that could in San Francisco, one of those, like actually an independent label that was around for a longer than most of them. And was more successful, but still, like, you know, barely making rent some months kind of thing. And, you know, like, Flipper, two or three of the four of them at the time were heroin addicts. And, you know, they were the kind of people that would, like, show up at the label owner's house in the middle of the night, bang on his window and wake him up and demand $50 for drunk, you know, and he'd do it. But so they later, like, somehow got signed to American Recordings, you know, which used to be the Def Jam guy. Who is he? Rick Rubin, who's like, he's a kingmaker, you know? I mean, he's in the video 99 Problems and the B Ain't One. Like, he's the white guy and the big fat guy and the big fur coat who looked gangster. You know, he's a kingmaker. He made the Beastie Boys. He made, you know, Russell Simmons. He and Russell Simmons, like, made a lot of, like, made hip hop mainstream, really, those two. And, but he wanted to license the Flipper record, and they lied to him and said, or I'm assuming lied to him and said they had the rights to it.
And then, with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
For Freedom Fiends. So before I finish one of my many stories about Flipper, the band, ripping someone off for drugs, I'll just finish it. I got cut off by the free market, and then let me finish it, and we'll decide what to do. That's how we go on the Fiends. So this band, they got signed to Rick Rubin's label. They put out another record with Rubin, but part of the deal they made with him was he wanted to buy the masters for their first album. And buying the masters for an album means several things in the copyright, you know, industry-driven world. One is that you provide the actual masters, which at that time were tapes, but is now probably a hard drive. But it also means that you provide the legal right to exploit them, and you have it free and clear, which Flipper did not, you know. So basically, they got the advance from Rick Rubin, and then they broke into the office of their old record label and stole the tapes and gave them to Rick Rubin. And Rick Rubin put the album out again on his label. And I don't know whatever happened with it. I don't even think there was a lawsuit, man. I think it was just like, maybe the little label was too small to like fight back or something.
Care about this band Flipper? Maybe maybe it wasn't worth like getting a lawyer involved to sue over.
Well, they're kind of a perennial favorite, and they're really like one of my favorite bands. They're kind of unlistenable to a lot of people, but they were kind of the first grunge band. I mean, in like 1979, they were doing stuff that sounded like what Nirvana was doing 10 years later. They were Kurt Cobain's favorite band.
Played them on the show before,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And Chris, I played a whole
That's
show
how I
of
think
them
I know I would
with
hate,
Davy Barker.
I hate them.
You would hate them, sure. Yeah. And Chris Novoselic from Nirvana played bass in them because their bass players die all the time. It's kind of like the drummer in Spinal Tap. Like the bass players in Flipper kept dying of heroin overdoses. So, you know, they got a guy who didn't do heroin finally and recorded an album at his farm. So that's pretty good. But it was they did steal the thing. So back to the Wu-Tang Clan. This leads to an article when you search this thing about Wu-Tang. It says a millionaire bought the only copy of Wu-Tang Clan's new album. Is this the future of art? And what did you say, James Babb?
I said, well, that's actually the past of art, right? Like, you know, when you would say like, hey, Michelangelo, go carve that for me, you know, or paint me
or
something.
Mozart, write that symphony. There's too many notes for the royal ear. Is one of my favorite quotes from that movie Amadeus. I apply that to everything. Like whenever there's stuff that's art that seems pedantic to me and like thinks it's too clever and uses words like pedantic and I don't really like it, I can see the talent in it. I just turn to whoever I'm sitting next to, my wife or, you know, whoever, my cats when I had cats, and just go like, too many notes for the royal ear. It's a good diss, man.
Why not? But let's face it, patrons of the arts are, you know, that's old school, right? Like,
or the movie 8mm with Nicolas Cage, where a wealthy industrialist is rumored to have, before his death, commissioned an actual snuff film, one copy of it for his own enjoyment, and his widow finds it, and his elderly widow, and hires the private detective Nick Cage is playing to go find out if it's real
so
or fake.
So he's the star of his own snuff film, basically?
No.
Oh.
No, like they kill a girl in it, and it looks very real, and, you know, the widow just wants to know how horrible her husband was, so she wants to find out if this was real, and you know, they find out it was real. So there you go.
Maybe you could commission your own snuff film as like a final money raiser to like cover
of yourself being snuffed.
Yeah. Why not?
Right? Well,
Is there a weird underground market for that?
Timothy Leary broadcast his death on the internet in 1996, I believe it was, before most people even knew what the internet was.
It was on CompuServe. It was the first live on CompuServe event.
Was it?
No.
Well, it was on the ARPANET. What did we learn this week? That the first commercial transaction on the internet was people selling weed over ARPANET from one college to another in the 70s. That's kind of cool.
Is that really verified, or how do you?
Yeah,
like a good story that you'll never be able to check.
It does sound like a good story.
Had they sold them guns and weed, we'd be calling it the Freedom Net instead of the internet.
You know, here's the thing. You know what? That's not verifiable because commerce, when done right, doesn't really upset anybody. It's just you do it and you do it and then you have the thing, but everyone's happy. What there is a record of is the first spam, which was, I believe, in the 70s on ARPANET. And there's a lot of copies of it because everyone was so mad about it. They made copies of it and printed it in magazines and complained about it and things.
Wow. That'll really get the spammer. Copy it. Share it with your friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Print it in journals.
Yeah.
Well, it must have worked because an industry was born.
Yep. History of email spam from 2004 to 2008. Wait, there's
it's just the Nigerian royalty chart.
Yeah. It's, you're funny, man. That's pretty good. One laptop for every child soldier. You want to talk about Pony216, the hashtag?
That's Cleveland. That's Cleveland's. Coney 2012, not 2016.
Yeah, yeah. But
oh, Pony 2016. Yeah. Yes. Pony 2016.
Is this a Vermin Supreme thing?
No.
Miller.
I'm
can
not
hear
rubbing
it.
My micro.
It's yeah, yeah.
My
you're going. You're going. Yeah. Your microphone. I hear you.
I do it. Yep. Eddie okay. Google.
It's your beard. So, aren't you clean?
I was kidding. Yeah, I am clean shaven. The trigger weave. I have a Jeffrey Tucker shave system. Yeah, I'm a trigger weave. Anywho.
Okay, while you put this together in your mind, it's going to take a while, I can tell.
No, we have
a
new squad goal.
I'm waiting from Derek J.
Here we go. Yeah.
Do you have a postcard from Derek J? I have an actual physical paper postcard.
Oh, that's nice.
It is nice, and I've read one from him before. He's the only guy that sends me snail mail that I want. And I think it's elegant and beautiful that Derek J still sends mail.
Classic.
And it's a weird print of a water psychedelic watercolor on one side. And the other side, it says, "Dear Michael and DJ, I hope this trippy postcard finds you well. I bought it off a hippie who makes them in San Francisco. I'm glad to hear the business with your throat isn't cancer. Woo! Now I hope the sleep study goes well." Oh, this is from like a month ago. I keep forgetting to read it. "And you get some quality rest. I miss chatting with you on the Fiends, and I got kicked out of Mama Satoy's cult, and Steven left his job at Ripple. So maybe I can come back sooner than expected to the Fiends.
Yay.
Thanks for doing what you do. You're an inspiration. Your friend, Derek J."
Oh, what a nice guy.
Isn't that cool?
He's super nice.
Yep. Okay. Pony 2016.
This isn't about Vermin Supreme.
No.
Yeah, it is.
This is a new squad goal that I'm introducing.
Oh. Squawk goal. I want to use this. I want to try to present the hashtag squawk goals instead of squad goals. Everyone else uses squad goals, but I call talk radio squawk radio because most of it is. So squawk goals. Well, let's throw it against the wall. So what are your squawk goals?
Well, we've already covered some prior squawk goals. getting me
goals.
getting me on the Artists for Bernie page.
Have we done that yet? I have not done anything toward that. Has that happened yet?
A bunch of people are on Twitter getting me on it, and then there were some Bernie supporters on the street in Philadelphia the other day, and I widened my eyes. I got that Bernie little look in my eyes, and I walked up to them, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, I want nothing more than to be on the Artists for Bernie page." They're like, "Oh yeah, we'll definitely talk to some people." And I think
right now, what can our listeners
Supporter tells you they're going
to
say something, that's nothing, because remember that liberals believe that saying something and doing something is the same thing. So,
right. Well, and when they say they're going to do something, that means it could be to Occupy Democrats Facebook admin, right?
Like, you get reported to being liberal. That's if you're in big trouble.
Or being liberal. I couldn't think of right. Anyway.
Did you see that? Yeah.
I want to know what listeners at home can do to facilitate this goal getting on Artists for Bernie.
They can hit Bernie up on Twitter and be like, "Yo, you should add comedian Steve Miller to your page because he vanquishes all those darn libertarians on the Freedom Fiends, and gives a nice pro Bernie view, and he loves Bernie, and put him on the Bernie page, and he also made some great memes."
I've got an idea
Bernie.
Yeah, okay. What we need are not just our listeners to retweet this. Obviously, that's great. But we need those special listeners out there that have maybe purchased like 10,000 fake Twitter accounts, and you guys retweet it, okay? So I figure
Tony Styles, please.
Oh yeah, who can we get in on this? Like somebody with you can, who else do we know? It might have like hundreds of thousands of fake Twitter followers that could.
Yeah.
So whoever you are out there, I'm not naming names, but if you could put your bots on this, this could get results. But we're gonna need the big guns.
Our other major squat goal at the moment is introducing the term yak farmer as a slur.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You can still say it on the radio.
A slur that we like and use on ourselves. And
yeah.
Steve and I talked about this earlier today, and we decided that that it's the best thing for us to call ourselves is anarcho-yakitalists or yak farmers. And yak farmers is going to be the slur. You know, it's going to be kind of like so-and-so and the such word.
You clear this
like things
Nick.
We can't even say.
I think, you know.
I don't have to. I built that. I built Nick.
I mean, you built him. You can destroy him.
No, I can.
That is so mean-spirited.
I built him. I can turn his saying into a meme. He'd love that. I know Nick.
Well, and that's true. But I think, you know, to me, he is the anarcho-yakitalist, and I could only dream of having his sort of yak skills. And I would not be insulted if somebody called me a yak farmer because it looks pretty impressive to me.
Oh, so. We tweeted this. Steve tweeted this the other day, and Nick liked it. So I have the documents.
Yeah,
that's practically a
signed contract. It's a legal contract. Yeah, I'm sure it's been used in a court of law at this point. But
well,
yeah,
at this point, if Nick takes offense, it's an NAP violation.
Well, mm-hmm.
Against your property.
At least a microaggression. How many satoshis does it cost for a libertarian indulgence for a microaggression?
Six. I don't know.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. So yak farmer. Anarcho-yakitalist is what I'm going to start saying I am when people say, what are you? Because, you know, anarchist sounds like you throw bombs or love communism and break windows at Starbucks. Voluntarist sounds like you make houses for Habitat for Humanity. Libertarian sounds like you go to party meetings and try to get 3% of the people elected. Agorist sounds like you're a farmer.
Yeah,
and all of those things require explanation. If you're going to bother to make an explanation, I think it should be for something as cool as, I'm an anarcho-yakitalist.
Just to put the brakes on any future conversation, right? Like, because they're going to just stop asking at that point. It's not like they're going to be like, what's that? That they're just going to be like, interesting, and go on to the next person. Where if you said libertarian or anarchist, they might have a follow-up question. This will just nip that in the bud immediately.
Yeah, so that's our big squawk goal. Other than
you and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Admit it, you hate shopping for Christmas. You do. It's a hassle coupled with a burden, mechanically checking off friends, relatives, and coworkers from your list. You're probably not even religious, but if you are, is buying your cousin some little made-in-China piece of plastic really celebrating the birth of your savior? This holiday season, why buy gifts for friends and relatives? Most of them are status anyway. You should send that money to the Freedom Fiends instead. The Freedom Fiends will use your money to help spread education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. If you want to help provide inoculation from indoctrination, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post to send your money to the fiends instead. Because buying crap for unappreciative statist relatives won't get your name on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And if you must shop for Christmas, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you anything extra, and Amazon will save you the danger of holiday drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon pretty much sells everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, so get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com.
That's what we're talking about here. But I want to recommend a TV show that y'all never seen that is really weird. It's called Detectorists. and it's a British comedy about guys who use metal detectors. It sounds cool. Weird. Yeah.
I used to watch that show Meteorite Men, which, and they go around with metal detectors, really cool metal detectors too.
Yeah, that was a nonfiction show, right? It was a
really cool.
Yeah, on science something. Yeah,
yeah, and like they go around looking for for giant iron meteorites and dig them up, and it's like it's kind of like a treasure hunt. It's kind of like a little bit of science mixed in, and they're just like a couple of cool dudes that go around doing.
What surprises me about meteorites? Is that they don't contain any elements that are not found on Earth. I mean, I don't know why they would, but it seems weird to me that, like, you know, things from deep in the universe that end up on falling on the Earth are made of the same stuff that the Earth's made of. And the same with the moon. And, like, you know, no elements have been discovered. Are there like elements that are theorized about that are seen through radio telescopes or only or something? I don't think there are.
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
You know, I think everything exotic materials
on the matter.
There's exotic materials like, say, like a neutron star would be a totally different type of matter just based on that doesn't exist on Earth, of course, because we don't have that kind of gravity. But
meteorites are like iron and nickel and a little, you know, mobilinium or something.
Yeah, especially the ones they find, because those are the easy ones to find with the metal detectors. They can be very, they can be huge, giant chunks of metal.
Detectorists is on Netflix. It's kind of slow, but it's funny. And it's written and directed by and stars Mackenzie Crook, who is like Gareth on the UK version of The Office. And I think he plays something in one of those. What's that fantasy show TV everyone likes that takes place in the past and there's dragons and whippings and sex and murder. What's that thing?
The West Wing. What was it?
Yeah, it's pretty funny, man. That's a good answer.
I don't know.
No, Game of Thrones. He plays Orel in Game of Thrones. My wife's a big fan, and I showed her a picture, and she's like, "I don't know. Maybe he's not a major character, and I think he's all covered with feathers and stuff in it. Like not tarred and feathered, but he's a creature." So the other thing I want to recommend is a show called W1A, which is actually the postal code. Or part of the postal code of where the BBC head office is in London, but it is a comedy on Netflix. It's on Netflix. It's a comedy it's a BBC comedy that's a workplace comedy about the BBC. And I gotta say,
that's weird.
It is weird. And I gotta say, England is really like they're self-deprecating in a way that Americans wouldn't. Like, this is about the BBC, and it makes it look like everyone at the BBC, from the lowest intern to the guy running the company, are like completely inept and faking everything they do, or being yes men. I don't think America would do that. I mean, now, the closest
is this like
thing
just like the news department, or is this like the whole like TV,
the whole company, the
like
whole
the people
company
that make Doctor Who, that do the news, that do BBC America, everything.
Yeah, it's mostly the news, but they work with other factors of BBC at various times, entertainment and radio, the closest thing I can think of is actually that little short film that was made after when Bill Clinton was in his last lame duck days, and it shows him wandering around. Do you ever see this? Shows him wandering around the White House alone and like hanging out with some intern dude, and the intern showing him how to buy a ham on the internet. Like, and they're Xeroxing their faces. You ever seen that?
No.
It's pretty good. Google that, man.
That's presidential library. Like, that,
I think it was on the Tonight
Under the
Show.
Records Act. That has to be filed away.
It's on YouTube, man. Somebody. I think it was on the Tonight Show or something. I think it was Jay Leno produced it. It was pretty funny. Check it out. We'll be back for another hour of screeching freedom triage weens after this trip to the free market and some news that will probably horrify you. It'll come back and make you laugh.
We'll be back with more Tumblr triggers.
Trigger weens. I really like that.
Tumblr trigger.
I saw Ween at the 930 Club in D.C. at the old location, the one that's on the same address. It's where Ford's Theater was in D.C. It's where Lincoln died. I saw Ween where Lincoln died.
Yeah.
guests.
Low orbit ion cannon, a high atop Financial Beast Plaza, in the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I am your host, Mr. Michael W. Dean. Your other hosts here are James Babb. Hello, James Babb. How are you doing?
Great.
And Steve Miller. Are you there, Steve? Are you safe?
Indeed, I am. Yes.
Have you been contacted by the government?
Worms, I have not.
All right. What do you guys want to talk about?
Did you get the link to that cool video game I just sent you?
Sock and Awe.
Yeah.
I got the link.
Yeah, where you get to throw shoes at George Bush. It's just kind
okay.
of it's
Let's
it's
give
not
it
a
out.
Very good video game, but it's just kind of
SOCKANDAWE.com.
Yeah.
Sock,
I mean,
and
you were just telling me about somebody that threw a grenade at George Bush, and that's that could definitely injure innocent people. I think shoes
I would almost go as far as to say that there are weapons that in most cases would be entirely immoral to use. And I think a grenade would probably be one. I mean, you know, unless you're using it for like mining, you know, coal or something. I don't know.
Or if you're dropping it in a foxhole, you know, somebody's attacking you and you can, you know, I don't know, drop one inside the tank, you know, hatch
or
something.
It's just, like, I don't know. I think
it's not very accurate, right?
Bolt
and when your firearms training says that you have to be responsible for every single bullet that comes out of
right.
the gun. Its entire
right.
trajectory. Everything that happens, right? How could you possibly be responsible for every piece of a frag grenade? You know,
right?
Like, there's just
right.
how could you possibly
same with flamethrowers, nuclear weapons? And you know, I was thinking about it. I was thinking that the government, all governments that have air forces, basically break the rules of weapon safety constantly, all the time, because they've constantly got planes flying overhead that have, you know, guns and missiles and bombs that are basically pointed at us.
Right.
So, you know, keep an eye on your target and what's under it, man.
But, you know, we're talking about being personally responsible.
Could be better
That's
than
not
them.
Really something that they, that falls under, it's something they need to worry about very often.
No, no, nope.
That wasn't in the contract.
So Philly, we had something about Philly. What was it?
Yeah. So we had the Libertarian Holiday Party the other day.
Traditional annual event.
Traditional event, the Monty Awards.
It was Steve and a bunch of hot chicks and a couple cuck dudes, right? I don't know if they're cuck dudes. I just saw the picture. You called them that jokingly.
Yeah. There were a lot of comely gentlemen. A lot of fine-looking ladies.
Our fans.
A picture on my Twitter feed on Miller Twice. Yeah, fans of Freedom Fiends. A lot of free buttons given away. Because where I show up, I like to, you know, leave them laughing and leave them with buttons. That's what I say.
Yeah, I'm sending more buttons tonight.
Yeah, people will be BIPCOTted with all their buttons.
We did, and the highlight of the party was a guest Skype appearance by Lynn Albrecht, Supermom.
Woo!
So that was pretty cool that she dropped in, and we got to talk to her because we love her. So that was very nice of her.
We wound up raising a bunch of money for Lynn as well. Yeah.
Yep.
The party
last night. Yeah. Well, we always raise money to stick it to the man somehow. And this year we decided to just, you know, that Lynn deserved a little bit of a Christmas present for her.
You raised enough money to help her out, but not enough for her to get kidnapped.
Not enough to hire the A-team. No.
Right. Or to get kidnapped, which was, you know, if you have too much money, like the Russian mafia and the DEA, you know, say they're going to kidnap you, or members of the DEA will say they're going to kidnap your mom, and that happened with her son. I'm making light. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, I know. Right. He's they're still hoping to get the millions of dollars, right? So they kidnapped her son, and hopefully she's really putting on this ruse of being this really nice mom, but she's really the mastermind behind everything. Is that what you're implying? Yeah.
No, I'm implying you don't know about this. The two of the DEA members, or maybe as a DEA member and an FBI member, that were involved in taking down Ross Ulbricht and the Silk Road and putting him in prison for life over supposedly running the Silk Road website. One of those guys just got convicted for one of them got convicted and is going to serve 6 years. Do you know about this?
Yeah, one of the corrupt, it's hard to say, what makes them corrupt? They're all corrupt, of course.
Yeah, but he was so corrupt, they think he's corrupt, and he was
stealing property that they had stolen fair and square for themselves, I think.
But he supposedly, part of the whole story on this is that he was going to kidnap Mrs. Ulbricht and, Ross's mom and girlfriend. Do you know about this?
I did hear something about that, and I was very concerned for Lynn's safety.
Yeah, yeah, and he was going to, supposedly this government agent was going to kidnap her and Ross's girlfriend, get a cell phone into Ross in prison once he settled wherever he was going, and show him on the video on the cell phone that his loved ones are kidnapped, and demand the passphrase for the one Bitcoin account that had $70 million in it or $30 million that still hasn't been opened up. And, this really goes to I think people should quit trying to out who Satoshi Nakamoto is, the creator of Bitcoin.
God. Yeah, for exactly that reason.
Yeah, for exactly that reason. Because if, there are people in this world who, if they think, this person at this address has secret access to, what is it, $1 billion? How much? I mean, there's the original blocks of Bitcoin. I think it's at least $100 million worth of Bitcoin that Satoshi has that's never been spent.
I think it's a hundred, or was it 1 million Bitcoin? I think is what they said about 1 million Bitcoin.
And $400 million
worth.
Yeah, yeah, half a billion dollars. There are plenty of people in this world that would torture somebody and put a bullet in people's loved ones if they thought they could get that kind of money out of them.
If they could get a tiny fraction of that, they would do that.
Yeah. I mean, there's people in Steve Miller's neighborhood that would do that for $50 in a hit of crack, right?
75.
So that's a going rate? Okay.
Yeah, gentrification.
But those aren't people that can fly to Argentina. No, what is it? Australia? That's where the latest guy is supposed to be, or California or wherever the latest Satoshi is. Guy.
Now did they it's he not was him. Arrested it's not for him. Something, right?
He was arrested for tax evasion. Yeah.
Now basically. But have people stopped speculating that it's him?
Most people, including me, are saying it's not him. But most people are saying he wants people to think it's him. He constructed ruses. That's sociopathic. That is, what I'll say that is? Hashtag stolen valor, man. Trying to say you are Satoshi when you're not.
Yeah. Forget that.
Yeah.
Okay. Both me and Hugo could walk around saying we're Ed Snowden, though, because we came from the same white dude factory.
Wow. What's the reward?
Hugo, our Hispanic correspondent.
And he and I look alike, and we both look like Ed Snowden.
Wow. Well, what's the current reward for Ed Snowden? If you could turn in Ed Snowden, what would
I don't think
pay?
There is one.
Oh, I bet there is.
They pay it in rubles.
They pay it in Satoshis.
Yeah, they'll give you some of the Bitcoin they stole from Ross.
That would be a libertarian microaggression, so you would finance it in Satoshis. Yeah.
I think the reward is as many Satoshis as there are atoms in the universe.
Yo, you know what happened over the weekend, Michael Dean?
What?
We had the Army-Navy game here, and there's so much domestic violence in the military that this year, instead of the sign saying, go Army, beat Navy, it said, go Army, beat your wives, and then get away with it, but get a stern talking to from an officer. Little wordier side.
That's funny. Although, it's a misnomer that domestic violence goes up on Super Bowl days. That's something that some feminist made up, said once, and it's been repeated like it's true forever.
I've never heard that before. So
really, I mean,
I do know that domestic billboards. Violence is much more likely to occur in the house of a
cop.
Or someone's a cop. Yeah,
yeah.
I was families are like four times as likely to be victims.
I was dating a Thai florist, and he punched me in the face one time, and I ended the relationship. And my literal words when I jumped out of his car as he was punching me in a moving car. My exact words were "my NAP," and then I jumped out of his car.
Nice.
And he said,
"I don't mean to laugh at something that's obviously a very tragic situation there, but I hope you're okay."
Drop that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's so I wanted to recommend a show because Steve and I are going to discuss it this weekend. It's Mark Maron show. It's called Maron, and it's I love this show. It's go. I binge watched season 3 in one sitting, and the last, they're all great, and he just keeps getting better. And he's one of my favorite comedians, but he's working with Jerry Stahl now, who's one of my favorite TV writers. Even though Jerry hates to be known as a TV writer, he wants to be known as a novelist, but Hollywood just keeps dumping dump trucks full of money on his front yard, and he just keeps doing it. And actually, Maron probably doesn't pay as well as Alf and CSI did, which he's written for before.
Alf and CSI.
Yeah.
That's just such a great resume.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and, like, the really weird episodes of CSI are always written by Jerry Stahl. Like, you know, the one that's about people dying in backroom sex change operations in, you know, home storage units or something.
I love how they always have that joke right before they go to the thing. Like, they'll find somebody dead in a diner over a thing of Eggs Benedict, and they'll be like, oh, guess this guy won't make it home for the Hollandaise or what have
you. That's not in CSI, man. You're thinking of, like, what is that? I don't know. That's like, what
all
was
those
the
crime procedural
show
shows are the same.
Oh, maybe CSI Miami, but no.
That's
CSI,
exactly
the main
what it
one.
Is.
Yeah, the main one's not corny like that.
Old original CSI.
No, yeah, he wrote. I mean, he helped forge what the CSI whole thing is, you know. And I've been to Jerry Stahl's house. I interviewed him. He's in my Selby movie. That guy lives well. That guy lives in a mansion up on the hill. But he's still just he's like Maron. I mean, he's the perfect guy to write for Maron. He's sardonic. He's sarcastic. He's successful, but talks like he's a failure because in his head, he still feels like he is. Like, Maron nailed that. Maron was interviewing Louis C.K. and was like, Louis C.K., I love you, man, but I don't know. I still judge myself as a failure by my friend's successes. Louis C.K., why did you call your TV show F You, Mark Maron? I mean, I don't know if that's what it's called, but that's how it comes up on my TV. All right, we'll be back after this trip to the market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. So, side of all that is go binge watch season 3 of the show Marin, because Steve and I are going to be discussing it this weekend. We're going to do a show together because I'm full of life from CPAP. You know, I think
you're over oxygenated. What do they call that?
Hypoxia? No, that's not enough oxygen.
When you're like got too much oxygen and they have to, I don't know what they do to you.
Put a paper bag to your mouth. It's when you're hyperventilating.
I'm not going to prescribe a paper bag over your head, but
well, if you're having a panic attack or hiccups, a paper bag will help you with that. So, you know, and you know, if someone's not very attractive, but you're feeling frisky and they're willing, you know, been there. So,
all right.
Yep. Yep. So I think here's my theory. I think you know how when you find something that's life changing, you become a butthole and try to tell everyone else they need to do it. You ever experienced that in yourself or others? A really good example is people who quit smoking or people who get sober, who are addicts or alcoholics. You know, they become insufferable at least for a while. You know, like. You know, yeah, you're not an alcoholic, but you have the friend that's the alcoholic like me. And, you know, I get sober and all of a sudden I'm like bitching at you. I'm complaining at you about like you having a drink with dinner or a couple drinks with your friends. Like, I think everyone needs to be that kind of thing. You experienced that, right?
Not with drinking. No, definitely not.
How about with libertarianism?
Probably, you know, I've certainly seen it, you know, but I've always tried to ratchet it back. Probably
no, not just in yourself, but in others. Have you tell me if either of you can think of examples where someone, you know, like find some life changing thing, whether it's religion or drugs or being sober or off
even
drugs.
Like having it could even be like pregnancy or something that like just suddenly takes over people's lives and that's all they can focus on, you know.
Yeah. That was definitely me the first time I heard Luke Bryan's Tailgates and Tan Lines album.
Really?
All my friends were divided into people who wanted to talk about Luke Bryan and people who didn't want to talk about Luke Bryan. Luke Bryan's a country singer.
I don't know what that is. Yeah, so anyway, that's a thing. I believe I am going to become that creep about CPAP. Sleep. Yeah, because
creep for
this
sleep.
This is the conservative convention we're talking about again?
No, no, and they never wrote back. And if they do, I think we should never talk about it on radio until you've done it. No, CPAP, not CPAC. Sleep apnea is a really common problem that probably like, you know, 10 or 20% of people have, of adults have, and untreated. And it has devastating other side effects. Like, I'm actually starting to think that all of these baffling health problems I've had come down to like two things. I think it comes down to sleep apnea and acid reflux. And I'm dealing with the acid reflux and things got a lot better. And now I've got the machine. Basically, I have to be on life support every night for the rest of my life, but I'm happy about it. And I'm actually doing better with it than most people do. Like I'm on two CPAP forums all of a sudden.
What would happen if say somebody accidentally pulled the plug on you?
Oh, I wouldn't die. It's not really life. It's over the long-term life support. I've thought about that. Like now that I'm getting so much relief for it, like, you know, what do I do once a year when the, you know, the weather's bad and Wyoming has, you know, I don't have power overnight.
Interruptible power supply.
Well, I have one of those, but it's for running the radio show, and it would probably only run the unit for like 15. It might run it for an hour.
It has to give you enough really time sucks. To activate to just get the generator started, and that's all.
I don't have a generator, but the couple answers to your question. One is I would just have a night like every other night I've had for the past 20 years or so,
miserable.
You know, which is miserable. But the thing is, I've been loveless. In denial about, loveless, artless. Yeah. Like my wife is even like, you know, I seem nicer than over the past few days. Like it's kind of a miracle thing. And I think that a lot of people really just have untreated sleep apnea. And if they went to their doctor, got a sleep study, got on CPAP if they need it, I think lives would change, you know, not overnight, but pretty quickly. Like in 5 nights, I feel a drastic change for the better. And I'm sleeping less, but it's better. Like I generally sleep 12 hours a day with naps over this past year, and I feel like sleepy and cranky all the time. And I've been sleeping about 7 hours a night without naps, and I feel sleepy, but it's like a mellow, happy, like, almost
how
like
a high.
How
do you measure your crankiness?
I don't know. That's actually a stat that's not shown on the SD card of the unit.
Right. That's probably something. It'd be good to graph that if you could, like the number of times that you make a certain exclamation. You know, like,
Marin actually has a metric for that. He says it's, you know, he says, I still yell at people, but the length of time between yelling at them and apologizing is getting shorter as I get older.
That's a metric.
That's progress. Yeah. All right. Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
We can replace the feed he had with, but we could have the how to get away from chemtrails chemical ad, and then we could put the Fiji URL.
Let's start with the Kickstarter.
URL at the end of it.
For a tool that helps people drink their own urine to protect themselves from chemtrails. And I'm thinking for maybe $39.99. Like, is that too much to pay to protect yourself from chemtrails?
How about something to protect yourself from roasting turkeys with drone-mounted flamethrowers? Or are we going to talk about PornGate? You want to talk about this turkey, don't you?
Because that's such good news. I want to save that for the end.
Redemption in the third act. Okay. Right. So we want to talk about something, the hot ghetto mess, which is... don't Google that, people. Please don't Google that hot ghetto mess.
You can Google news search it, but don't.
News, yeah. So,
because PornGate has turned into a hot ghetto mess.
Yeah, that's the headline. That's the news. So talk about PornGate, Philadelphia people.
Steve.
So.
since you live in the ghetto.
You Pennsylvanians.
I do live right in the middle of the ghetto. Anyway, so it turns out there were these emails that were sent by a bunch of prosecutors in the Justice Department in Philadelphia, the prosecutor's office, and the state Justice Department, Pennsylvania Department of Justice, I guess, Attorney General's office. And they sent each other a bunch of racist emails mainly, but they call it PornGate because there were a couple porns in them. Now, I've seen the porn. I've inspected it personally, and I can tell you it's fairly low-quality pornography. So,
is that what people are objecting to, the quality of the porn?
That's what I'm personally objecting to.
It's pretty good for government work.
Right. I think, you know, the conservative view is we want to see an efficient government working well, right? So I think the conservative view would be to demand a higher quality of porn from our attorneys general.
They were sending a ton of racist emails. That was the main thing. That's the main thing everybody's all up in arms about.
Yeah, like a heavyset woman eating a drumstick with a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
A photo of three young black women that says the new Three Stooges. You know, these are like things your racist uncle forwards you in 1999.
You know? Well, what makes it exact? I mean, just devil's advocate. What exactly makes it racist? Just because they're of a race and they're getting made fun called Stooges? I don't understand.
I think it's the pattern.
Yeah. Steve. Yeah. Steve. Not to dox you, but I'm sending you something right now. Does your address end in street or road or terrace or what?
Street.
All right, thank you. Go on, guys.
Yeah.
So, so there's a lot of inappropriate emails, racist, sexist, generally just unsavory behavior from these, what are supposed to be morally superior to us, right? Like, these people are the ones that dictate morality to the peons of Philadelphia, to us mere, citizens. So
talk about how depraved people are because they have a gun in the car and what have you.
So who got mad about this?
The actual attorney general.
Okay. So.
And then they tried to impeach her, and I guess maybe did, and maybe she listens.
Steve, how many Bipcot buttons do you want? How many Bipcot buttons can you give away? I'm going to send you 2 packs of the 10 packs of everything else, but how many extra Bipcot up to 20 do you want?
Let's take a dozen.
Okay. You know that this is what radio is for. Syndicated radio on 32 stations is for me to ask one-on-one questions with my friends right. that could be answered by email. Okay,
that's
go
how
on.
You do it. You
carry on.
A lot of interest in how many buttons that Steve's going to be receiving. And
well, because there's people who are probably going to be emailing him before the end of the show trying to get on the list to get one.
Congratulations to everybody listening in Las Vegas who had bet the over on 11.5 for a number of buttons that will be sent to Miller Miller.
Yeah.
Barely covered that one for you. Yeah, I actually think that sports gambling is a growth market for libertarians because politicians hate it. And people want to legalize it, and it's fun. And a lot of the people that are into sports gambling are dudes. Yeah. So, yep. I think that that's an issue people should be jumping on.
There's definitely been some libertarian fortunes made in online gambling businesses, right? Mm-hmm. What was that really huge one that he sold for Bitcoin? Like, remember
people have been raided
about?
Too, though. People have been raided. What's the guy that interviewed me a couple times on his podcast? He has a podcast. He's almost libertarian. He's kind of libertarian, and he had to his house got raided, and he had to flee to Costa Rica or something. What's that guy's name? I love that guy. What's his name? You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
Good friend. But he ran. Seals with Clubs was his site, right?
Very cool. Yeah, I heard him. I've heard him interviewed before. Very interesting guy.
Yeah, I've been on it. Brian. Yeah,
but he's okay.
Brian Micon.
Did he avoid trouble, or is he exile status, or what was the follow-up?
I think the government raided his house and stole a bunch of stuff and scared him and his wife and his kid. And I think they're living somewhere not in America now. I looked it up, and it's not the place he originally fled. Has an extradition treaty with America, but I don't think they're going to bother. You know, I don't think it's going to happen. It's not that big of a deal. Although, you know, who knows? I'm hoping he's okay. He's still tweeting. His last tweet was December 5th, so he's probably okay.
Nice.
Good. Never stop tweeting.
I wish him the best and other entrepreneurs like him.
You're only as alive as your last tweet.
Really?
Ain't that the truth?
Wow. That's why Steve and I tweet nonstop. James, do you ever check Twitter?
I get email alerts when there's certain tweets come in, and then I sometimes look at them, and sometimes
I tag you all the time. I probably shouldn't, but I don't know why.
No, it's fine.
Robin Williams in that interview with Maron said that he does not use Twitter or any social media, and he said Twitter. Next step is stalker. And then he looked like he was typing something with his thumbs, and he said, I'm eating restaurant at, I'm eating at such and such restaurant. And then the next tweet's going to someone coming back saying, I know, I'm at the next table watching you.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, remember there was what was the South Park skit where there was, wasn't there something that automatically, it was Futurama where they had a thing that automatically broadcast
iPhone.
Your thoughts.
Yes.
Onto the internet.
The EYE phone.
Something
the
like
iPhone.
That. Yeah.
That they actually painfully attach into your eye and people line up all overnight to get it stapled into their eye. I love that.
Right. And it's just constantly broadcasting you. Or did South Park do a skit on that too? I forget.
No, South Park did a skit where to agree to the service agreement on an Apple product, you had to have sex with other people in a fashion that is unbecoming and uncomfortable for almost anybody.
Unbecoming.
Or the opposite.
Are you wrapping up my package on the air? I mean, I realize I'm not one to talk about audio, but
this is what radio sounds like now, Steve. Didn't you hear the liner?
It's like I told.
My iPhone, EYE. I'm just broadcasting what happens in my room. Some people have webcams. I'm more about the audio, man.
All right. The sound of bubble wrap crinkling as buttons are packaged.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's what freedom sounds like.
There's 12 buttons in there. There was 3 seconds of rubbling for every single
No, there were 12.
Button.
There were 20. There were 32 buttons in there.
Wow. Shipping across this great land. Think about that.
I know.
From Wyoming all the way to here in Philadelphia.
My daughter loves her BIPCOT button. So she's my youngest is covered by the BIPCOT license.
Only her.
Right.
Can't be reused. Yeah.
Did you ever send that? Speaking of like stuff that could be done anywhere but radio, did you ever send that magnet to the guy that does the editing for us on Tuesday nights?
No, but I will.
Okay.
You know, I just, things that involve me going to the post office, I just, my subconscious just moves to the back of the line, like just,
yeah, I know.
Just, it's just
like Derek such a J. horrible experience. Derek J's sitting in Texas with something for Steve Miller.
He's in Texas.
Yeah.
He's in Texas.
He's with his boyfriend's family. I don't know. On his way to Uruguay or Uruguay. Uruguay? How do you say
really?
It? Uruguay?
Uruguay. He founded Galt's Gulch, Uruguay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know why.
He's living the dream, man.
Libertarian people think they're going to find more freedom in South America. I don't know, though. I actually knew a woman.
I don't get it. I've been there. I really don't understand it.
Although
weaker,
my first.
It's just weaker. It's just weaker. It depends. It's just weaker governments. It's the same idea.
Pay the government to leave you alone, but
they just don't have
rich.
The power. You know, they just don't have the reach. They have the same goals, and you know, of course, it can always turn bloody. You know, but they just don't have the power. They're like, you know, they like. Do you think the president of Uruguay is going to spend his time reading your emails? You know, like, no. He's lucky if he's got a computer that can handle email himself.
No, but the police there will probably, if they don't like the way you look, they'll probably pull you over. They probably can legally search everything without any, you know, there's no.
But they might have to pull you over on a moped or something.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
I mean, it's.
Yeah. And, you know, you might be able to just bribe them to just go away.
Yeah. We can hope at least.
Yeah.
Whereas, let's just face it, they're just much better equipped around here. So I think that's probably the big difference.
It's a sin. Do you believe in God, James?
I have no evidence confirming that.
Confirming or denying it?
No, confirming. I've got plenty of evidence denying, none confirming.
Okay. I just feel it. I just feel it's real. Steve feels it's real too.
Can you feel it? Is it working?
But I'm so sick of Christians and Muslims arguing with each other, man.
I just tweeted you a very stanky dank meme, Michael.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think if there is a, if somebody did create the universe, he is got a, or she or it, whatever, a very
a dark
sick sense
of humor.
Yeah, just twisted. Well, you know, not someone I would want to emulate. just
mean Steve, spirited. I clicked retweet on your dank meme you sent me. Did you make this
very
meme?
Nice.
I like it.
No, I saw it on the internet.
Yeah, it's not your style. I can tell, but it's a good one. It's a penguin. It's the penguin meme. That could be. You can put anything on it. It's an if then or a this that says tries to make small talk, ends up giving a speech about government corruption. It's hard not to, man. I'm sorry. I'm that penguin.
So nice day out, isn't it? Yes, except for the chemtrails in the sky. Am I right?
No, I'm not that guy. I'm more like, except for the fact that they're going to be outlawing fossil fuels and we're going to all have to pay the price.
Yeah, except for the smell of the air, because Barack Obama's a liar, a socialist, that his feet stink.
Yeah, I you know, I'm...
Somehow
know
you can tie it back into sleep apnea, I'm sure.
I don't know where I am on the chemtrail thing, too. And, you know, I live in the same county. You know, you remember the video of, like, somebody lighting the water on fire coming out of their spigot? Yep. Like, that was my county, you know? So, I don't know what I think about whether or not there's human-caused global warming. I'm kind of more concerned just about pollution. I don't want to be able to light the water coming out of my, my spigot.
Or drink what comes out of your stove. No way.
Yeah. We'll be back with some redemption in the third act and some turkey fiddling with drones. Remote control, turkey fiddling.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Redemption in the third act. James Babb. Ask Babby. So I'm going to ask Babby Why are drones good? Drones scare me. Why should I like some drones?
Well, I think it's like any other tool. It's who's using it is more important than the tool, but there's certainly some disruptive technology we've seen out there in the hobbyist drone market, which I think is rapidly going to become highly illegal. Just based on what I'm seeing, some of the innovation that people are, you know, you have these quadcopter platforms that are highly maneuverable. You can control them with GPS, off-the-shelf equipment. For hundreds of dollars, you can deliver a pretty substantial payload accurately somewhere, okay? Which is, it is disruptive. But I saw a video, which I shared with you recently, where they have somebody put a flamethrower on a quadcopter and was like hosing down a turkey, like trying to roast a turkey with the flamethrower mounted to a quadcopter.
While it was still alive. Means,
no.
Oh. It was like on a spit or something. So
I thought you meant it chased out a live turkey.
It literally could. This thing, it looks like it's a little bit risky to operate, honestly.
That's a turkey trigger ween.
I mean, yes. It seems like a gust of wind blows the wrong way and you're like spraying burning kerosene like all over something else. So use judicious.
You know what they would call that turkey? They would call it Augustus and Crustus, and that it would drink some goat's blood. Womp womp.
I saw a video of a drone that could actually go underwater, operate as a like limited like submarine surface, and then fly off.
Yeah,
like that's cool.
When Columbus was sailing off to the New World, he saw a UFO or a star, no one's really sure which, do something very similar, and that gave rise to a conspiracy YouTube video that I want to watch about unidentified submersible objects, which are the lesser-known cousin to UFOs. Look it up, USOs.
USOs.
Wow. USOs. Yeah, it's the new UFOs. UFOs is they're whack. That's old school.
That's not the thing where like comedians entertain the troops overseas. What am I thinking of?
That's the USO show.
These USOs do something.
Huh? Yeah. Would you ever do a USO show, Steve?
Depending where.
If it's in some godforsaken place that the U.S. government is invaded. Your backdrop for comedy.
If it was on a Pacific island with a bunch of fat dudes, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Well,
okay, so maybe the Guam base? How about Guam?
Yep.
Well, I don't know. Are you saying, Steve doesn't do the libertarian comedy stuff, but are you saying the government would pay for me to go over and tell soldiers why they're wrong? I'll do that.
No.
As long as it's really funny and you had an escape route.
I know.
Ha, ha, ha. You're all dying needlessly. Ha, ha, ha. Everyone loved you. Ha, ha, ha. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your next act, Daryl Worley.
Mark Maron has done that. He's apolitical, though. Yeah. Yeah. He used to do a show with Sam Cedar. And it was, he used to be super liberal. Now he, like,
he was on Air America.
Although he did interview, he's the only podcaster that's had Barack Obama on his podcast. Although, I don't know. He interviews so many cool people, and then just they're all statist, man. Why is that? Why? How can you interview Robin Williams and Barack Obama? And how can you not see what's wrong with being proud of interviewing Barack Obama after you interviewed, all the cool people he's interviewed?
People get blinded by the fame, and it's sort of like clouds out their other reason. The same way like Bob Barr got nominated at an LP convention.
They're like, were you there when that happened?
Yeah, he was like, there are people like, he's a CIA stooge. Yeah, he wrote, he was a huge, terrible drug warrior. Yeah, he helped create, he voted for the Patriot Act, the TSA, the Iraq War, the blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But
he read a Rothbard book.
He's famous. Hey, did you see the machine gun on a quadcopter?
No, last time I voted, and I quit after, last time I voted was for Bob Barr. 2005. What a
grand finale of voting.
Yeah. I didn't know. I was stupid. I could have written in Ron Paul, but he wasn't on the ballot in California.
And I want to vote with a machine gun mounted on a quadcopter.
You ever seen that T-shirt that says "Vote from the Rooftops" and has a sniper rifle? Sniper rifle. It's something I've seen leftists wear too. It's weird.
This has a self-destruction mode too, so yeah.
We don't recommend this. We're just talking about pop culture, man.
I'm talking about a prototype quadcopter with machine gun.
Awesome show, guys. Thanks for your service.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Steve's going to be on the next four shows.